episode 118 of Who Do You Think You Are? It's spooky season in the studio. We've been rolling with that intro. Got lights, and should we talk about the elephant in the room? Pedro's dead.
In the room. I turned Pedro into a mojo talisman. This little clown here.
What's a mojo talisman?
It's a hoodoo thing.
I'm already learning things from you. See, this is why I'm sick of Pedro, okay? He would already be burping, doing this high energy thing, and I'm already learning something within the first. So sorry, I cut you off.
That's okay.
I was excited.
We'll learn about hoodoo and the blues tradition today.
Okay, so what is this?
Hoodoo is if you ever heard about having a black cat bone.
Yeah.
You got to carry around the black cat bone so you can attract fame or a lover who has deserted you, or. If you get fame through the black cat bone, mm-hmm. that's how you end up having an untimely death.
Oh.
It's sort of like the Faustian trade. You carry around the black cat bone,
okay.
you get the fame, you get, bone cancer or something. So, in order to attract good luck, I thought, Pedro's a cute little brown man.
So
I'm going to carry him around in my pocket.
So what part of his ashes are in there?
This is Pedro.
His ashes?
He's been transmuted into... this little clown.
Wow. Yeah. Hey, Pedro.
Say hello, Pedro. Don't be rude. He's still getting used to his clown body.
Oh, man.
He's so sleepy.
He has the same exact posture as the old Pedro I knew.
Yeah, it's same energy.
But you're back.
That Pedro energy.
We're in the studio here, joined by CJ, who's been here multiple times. Hobo Blues Clown, Dr. Zevia, many alter egos. Mm-hmm. Alter, is that the word?
Dr. Zevia back in the studio.
So... yeah, so this is the first time we've even had a guest fill in for Pete who, I don't know, he said 4 a.m. he threw up. I throw up every morning.
Yeah.
He has diarrhea. I have diarrhea every single day. So it kind of feels like it was just kind of an excuse.
It's an excuse, right.
And I'm not having it,
yep.
you know?
Yep. Well, Pedro, you're lazy. Mm-hmm. You're lazy. If you're, shooting stuff out your both ends, there's buckets, there's...
yeah.
There's portable toilets and camping gear that we could have gotten set up for you. But instead, you have a white man come in and do it. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
I'm sorry,
and
guys.
You're talking to the camera, which I thought that was... so it's weird. It's like you're projecting towards him,
I want him
out
to
into
know
the ether,
when
back
he,
into the ether.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
It's like when you have... I don't have a kid or anything, but if you're saying something out loud and looking in a different direction, it really throws them off, right? Mm-hmm. And they're like, kind of like, are they talking
well,
about
you don't
me?
Wanna, you don't want to engage or acknowledge them, because then they get a sense of self-worth, and that's not
true.
Good.
Well, you don't want to get self-worth too early.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No, thank you guys for calling me and thinking of me when Pete got sick. Sorry that you're sick, Pedro.
Yeah.
We'll get you some medicine and feel better. That was rubbing
doesn't,
his belly.
It doesn't look good.
Yeah. No, it looks terminal.
That thing's great. Where'd you find that again? Where'd you get that?
So that's Mr. Bojangles. So I've had that guy around for a long time. Back when I was like 16, my outlaw biker neighbor, who I learned everything about being a man
you
from.
You got that bandana from, right?
Yeah, I did.
See, I remember some things from episodes.
Yeah. I got him from that guy. He found him in, I don't know, some house he was working on.
I did not trust that guy.
Yeah, it was kind of weird.
Yeah, that's a weird thing to give to somebody.
It's cool, though.
It's cool, but it's a weird
thing. I was dressing
thing.
Up like a clown for my
for
the band. So,
he knew. Okay, yeah. That makes more sense. Yeah. I guess that's the other elephant in the room, is that we're kind of dressed up because we've been doing that this year.
Are we? I thought this was just the new look. Okay.
I mean, it could be. I mean, I felt dangerous. It's a dangerous day and age to paint your face. Any color.
Yeah.
You know, I got some eyeliner on, some black lipstick, and like my sister came over earlier to do it. And she, we were talking about how this year, like October, I love this season, like Halloween, just the spooky. I don't know, it's like basic, but I love this time of the year usually.
Yeah.
But just, this whole year has just been thrown off by Corona, politics, the world's on fire. So it's like, it's hard to get that cheer, I guess. I don't know. It's nostalgia that you're like trying to get. Which I know it's not you shouldn't be fishing for a feeling, right? You just be experiencing.
Yeah, I mean,
what the season's bringing.
But at the same time, if that's what is going to satisfy your soul, and you're listening to yourself and what you want, and you're gonna, it's gonna make you happy. Just do it.
Yeah.
Who cares about you know, it's one thing if you're burnt out and you're not getting happy feelings, but if you're doing something that makes you feel good, then go for it.
But I'm not feeling like I want to feel that. Yeah. So my sister, me and my sister are talking about this. So she's like, she was off today. So she's like, I don't know, I could maybe do your makeup or something. And then I was like, yeah, that'd be fun. She's like, it'll put me in the Halloween spirit. So we listen to like Halloween music and I, you know, paint in my face like any 32-year-old would do before doing a podcast. It's normal. But it's still, it was like trying to fish for that feeling to like feel like this is October. It feels good to be around haunted and spooky things. And then it just still kind of doesn't feel like anything. It just feels like getting old sucks. My optimism is gone.
Is it always gone or is it COVID pandemic gone?
I don't know. That's a good question. I feel like now that we've been in it for so long, I even remember like we've released a couple, my band, The Edisons, has released a couple singles last couple months. And I remember in March, we wrote and released a song, Portals. And I think back on the memory of writing that song, listening to the demos out on my patio, like smoking a joint and like hashing out lyrics, stuff like that. Like I remember that now being a good feeling, but also feeling optimistic about October. And now it's, feels like it's worse than it ever really was. And I don't know if it's a part of getting older that I also feel like, I don't know, maybe it's some art isn't made to try to get something from it. It's only supposed to be like self-serving to your soul, right? Mm-hmm. But I miss when you were young being like wide-eyed and bushy-tailed, being like thinking that you're on the cusp of something or on the edge of maybe breaking through a little, maybe, I don't know. Like a lot of that's just dwindled.
Yeah, you don't know what's going to come next.
Yeah.
And now you have a pretty good idea what's going to come next, you know?
Donald Trump, 4 more years, baby. We did it.
I just think that getting older is part that. I think that it's definitely you have a lot more behind you that you are drawing reference from, so there's less novelty.
Yeah, for
right?
sure.
So
for
things
sure.
are less, you know, not, you know, there's... It's less often that you're going to encounter something that really attracts your attention because you have no idea what it
is.
Yeah. And then next to that, there's the whole idea that, you know, being 30 right now, I think about what do I have 10 years before I'm basically old, before I can't really say, look at, you know, that I have any youth.
I thought about that as 30 though. Do you not feel like, I sometimes, I don't know, it isn't an embarrassment or shame, but it's not because it's what feeds my, like doing this, I love doing this podcast. It brings me lots of joy playing music. That brings me a lot of joy too, but it's also this thing, like I can't just put my guitar away in my closet and never pick it up. Like I know that I will start getting depressed and start, mm-hmm. I mean, what's the other side? Watching TV all, or, you know, I need to expel what I consume. And I do sometimes think, like, God, you know, going on a date or something, like, God, this 32 is playing in a band. It's like, fuck, I'm that guy, dude.
Yeah.
But also, it's really hard. I mean,
but
that's
how
ego,
many
right?
of those women are that woman as well. Like, you know, to put yourself there is to say, oh, I'm that guy, as if you're putting yourself down. But there's plenty of women that are in the same position. I think that's partly generational.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, there's a lot of us out there that are just like, we didn't figure it out, or we didn't, you know, there was no opportunity to do something that meant anything to us. So here we are still floating around trying to, like, quote unquote, find ourselves.
Or figure it out. I mean, isn't this kind of, that's also the thing I struggle with, not struggle with, but I think about, it's like, I don't, no regrets when I get older. I don't want to be, you know, 60 or 70, be like, what if I started that podcast? What if I put out that album? So essentially you are doing it.
One time I was talking to this 60 some odd year old woman at
Cheers,
USAA Cheers. It was when I went back for the last time, and I was like, I was talking to her and I said, I just don't want to get to the point. It's bad luck to cheers and not drink it.
I've heard that.
I don't want to get to the point where I'm, you know, in my 60s having to start some job like this. I'll kill myself.
Yeah.
And I look up and the person who I'm talking to is that person exactly.
Oh, shit.
And I was just like,
how did they take that?
It was awkward. She didn't say anything about it. And then I kind of just started to yammer and try and say other things aside from that in order to go, let's not talk about that anymore. But yeah, I mean, same.
But age is also, I guess it's that thing where you do kind of act, not that you act your age, you act... it's a personality thing too. I mean, there's some people that are this age that are, they seem way, like, I don't know. It just also seems so boring to me. So it's like, as much as I get, like, it's, I put myself vulnerable, so it's like ego shattering, which is all bullshit anyways. It's like a bad loop to get, bad loop to get stuck in anyways. But then it's like, if I project myself to what society wants you to be, I mean, I don't know why we even got
but
it.
But what's that? I don't even think we have.
Yeah.
What society, first of all?
Materialism.
Who's society? Like, what do you feel like you belong to a culture that's in any way singular?
No, I mean, and it's just dividing more and more every single day. I mean, that's the power of numbers, though. I mean, that's what's going to happen. Because then more.
Sort of. I mean, we did have. The red-blue divide and all that was like a tool that was effective before the internet.
You know?
I mean, like, don't you feel like when you were a kid, things made a lot more sense than they do now?
But also, I didn't know anything. Like, I was so dumb.
Yeah, but neither did anyone else. Doesn't it seem like, to me, and, you know, I'm projecting on you. I'm just asking you things that confirm my feelings. But but really, I felt like before 9/11, there was an idea in my head about the way the world was, and it seemed like it was based on the way everybody sort of acted.
Yeah.
And then after 9/11, it was like, oh, okay, there's a level of reality that we were taking for granted, and that we don't do that anymore. And I don't think that's just getting older. I think that it's partly that cultural event and that shift with the internet where now everybody, everything, like you said, numbers do necessitate this, but also the ability to communicate.
For sure.
It causes us all to niche down so far.
Yeah.
That, like, you don't have a click or a sense of cultural unity, you know, and so that's why we can't even agree on the basic fundamental, you know, ways of how we want to govern ourselves.
Yeah, board a baby till they're three or something.
Right.
But also, like, to that point, the world is different after 9/11 and the way with the internet and the way that things kind of shift our perception. I think for me that I'm learning a lot now too is not only through, you know, feeling like we have the self of red and blue, and then also just the narrative that we're taught. And this is probably super ignorant to believe so much of what I was taught as I was young. And 9/11 was kind of that shell shock, being like, I can't trust everything that these people are telling me. But then you start going down conspiracy, then you're a conspiracy theorist. So it's like, I have to become a realist now and come back to reality. Mm-hmm. But then you realize the conservative and the liberal agendas, what they're teaching us is all to make us look like the good guy. I mean, that's we talked about this last week, Christopher Columbus, or with all these stories of history, it's like, we were okay. You know, it's just, you push things aside to try to make us, throw us up to the top. Yeah. And I feel like that's such bullshit, because just tell the real story. We don't have to be the hero, but it's what happened for us to get here.
I'm glad we're talking about this, because I wanted to kind of devil's advocate this a little bit.
Okay.
Is the opposite side of that, though, or the bad side of that realization that we should get that information, is that there was something good that came out of us all believing that we are
the good guy,
essentially at some midpoint from this mission that we started, which was to create freedom, you know, in the world, or at least in our corner of it. And so, you know, to be told that story is pretty inspiring, and it causes people to behave in a way that is admirable and beneficial.
Yeah.
And so to have that shattered, like, without any context,
that's what makes it worse.
Yeah, and it almost flips it on its head, where you go, oh, okay, so actually we're not the great whatever, whatever. Mm-hmm. We're the worst whatever. And it's just like, that's also not correct.
Yeah.
It's not at all reasonable to believe that because the sugar-coated version is completely incorrect, then it must be the exact opposite.
That's a great point.
And I think people rush to that, and it's like, let's just think about it in context. You mentioned last week, I was listening to your guys' show last week, and it was, you mentioned that the whole Columbus thing and how everybody was raping everybody and killing everybody.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're judging the past by today's standards.
Exactly, yeah.
And it's just, you know, I think maybe we talked about this in the thread. I don't know if you guys talked about this online, but Anthony Cumia was on, what was it, Legion of Skanks, I think, and made a funny point about, like, what was Columbus supposed to do?
Oh, just, yeah, turn around.
Somebody's already here.
Exactly, yeah.
See ya.
They're just throwing fire arrows at you. Yeah. So I'm like, hey, no, we're turning around. I'm sorry. We didn't know anybody was here. Yeah, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
And I don't know if you started reading the Immorality Key yet.
Not yet.
But it's also, it goes in that same point of being, it's the whole thing with, like, weed, you know, or any of these drugs saying, this is bad, this is bad, this is terrible. Then, you know, you turn 16, 17, you smoke a joint, you're like, this isn't as bad. Like, I'm not a fried egg. Like, I feel good. Like, I have ideas now.
Yeah.
But that's the problem. It's like, if you teach something and then if you shatter it, no matter what degree it's shattered to, it's going to fuck with your brain and, like, your programming, essentially. Mm-hmm. It's like you're getting this virus glitch kind of thing later on, and that's what acid does, it's what mushroom does, it shatters reality to what you were trained to perceive.
Yeah.
And it's a fucking amazing book, dude.
I'm gonna have to check that out.
One of my favorite quotes of it so far was, and you know, like Alan Watts or this book, like this kind of reading, they quote like 100 books and writers, so I never know who they're quoting. They just throw it off like, oh, you know, this one book, The Land Before, you know, Passage Time, Supernatural. I'm like, yeah, sure.
They're like Mahatma Gurdjieff.
Yeah.
You know, Socrates was like, yeah, okay, whatever.
I just love how they always know that offhand, but God, I loved this analogy that they're talking about religion and God and what you believe and who you believe in. He says that once you plunge into the ocean, doesn't matter if you believe that water exists. And I love that metaphor. Is it a metaphor, analogy?
Yeah.
It's just a sense of being suspended by something you don't need to have a name for or an idea for. It's just you are programmed to have an idea of what it is and what it represents and what it's suspending you in. And that's the same thing with drugs, where it can just take your brain to another place. I don't know how we got here, because I was talking about my sister October Halloween and dressing up and
the elephant in the room. Being 30 or 32.
and us and just being in paint.
But I know
I'm supposed to be Frankenstein's monster, okay?
And I'm literally just me as myself. And only that's a clown.
Hobo Blues clown.
Yes. So
is that the same makeup you do every time, or do you kind of wing it?
This is what I did last time for the album, was to just take some paint and smear it all over myself.
Yeah.
Which I actually like better. I've done like the classic clown, but I do like this. It's more hobo-ish and just like,
yeah, I can see that. I like the third eye too.
Yeah.
It's a good, and the gold paint.
Yeah. I kind of like that. And, this is probably how I'll at least wear the propeller hat when I do my own pod, whenever I get that off the ground.
Yeah, you should do it. It's fun, man.
Yeah. What prompted the Frankenstein?
I love the story of Frankenstein.
Okay.
I even have him tattooed on me. See.
Did you read like the old school? Oh, nice.
I did. Yeah. What I love about it's the creation of the monster that kills you. So I look at it internally, like C.J. Jung, kind of like that philosophy, the shadow self. You create or you feed this monster, and then that monster will soon inevitably kill you. Mm-hmm. So it's like you are the creator of the Grin Reaper. You control that, and you program it. You bring it. You fucking bring it to life. Like, you are responsible for your shit. So it's like, for me, it's like, own up to your bad side, like of drinking, drug abuse, all these things, the self-destructive negative patterns that you then say, why is reality like this? Why did this happen to me?
Right.
It's like you created the monster. You are the monster.
Yeah.
And it's then it kills. Like it's going to kill you.
Defense mechanism where you're like, I don't know what's going to happen, so I'm going to self-destruct instead of let some mysterious thing kill me instead.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of what Jung was getting at was, you know, if you have two choices, and if you decide to self-destruct in order to control your own destiny, then you know exactly how far you can get, and you limit yourself.
Yeah.
But if you give yourself over in an act of faith to the universe, to God, to whatever it is, then you're going to act in order to fulfill your highest potential.
For sure.
You know, and so it's, you know, I like that.
That's the greatest battle of life, right? It's to destroy your shadow self. If you die before death, then when you die, you don't truly die. Like, it's something, it's way better than that. I think that's in that book too.
Yeah, that reminds me of the old Aristotle quote, I think it was. I hold he who conquers himself braver than, you know, he who conquers others, something like that.
Yeah.
Where you're just like, yeah, the greatest, I think the quote ends with, the greatest victory is over the self.
That's for sure. And I think that's, I mean, if we jump back to kind of like the chaos of the world and the internet and the way that we, you know, disagree on stuff. I bet today marks 1 week off of Facebook.
Nice.
Yeah.
Good job.
I don't know if it's a good job or not, but it feels different. It's a weird thing. It's an itch. Once you get rid of the itch, you don't itch it anymore. You don't crave to itch
it. How much
it.
Were you on Facebook?
A good amount.
This point, were you?
I mean, I've been, I read the book Irresistible. You know, I listened to the podcast with that guy or something. I don't know. Rogan's talked about it a lot too. Then just reading some of these philosophy books and just kind of coming back to tune with Earth. I just feel like it's so much. I don't watch reality TV because I'll watch it and I'll sit there and I'll keep watching it. Yeah, like it feeds me. I don't eat fast food because it's fast food. So it's, I think it's just this fast food dopamine. It's changing the way that of our perception. I thought about this the other day of that, you know, because actually it was Pedro's wife and she asked me, she's like, do you think there'll be a civil war after if Trump wins? And I was like, no. She's like, no, there's going to be. And I'm like, go offline for a little bit. Like, because it's built up online so much that when you come back down to Earth and if you have conversations with really anybody, we're all just like, I mean, I talk to people randomly at the grocery store and stuff all the time. And we're just completely different, but we're also way more similar than we are different.
Yeah.
And also, it doesn't seem like chaos out. I mean, it's not, it's some places, yeah.
Yeah. I think if there's any kind of conflict like that, it's going to be between concentrated groups of people.
Mm-hmm. Boys versus Antifa.
Yeah. So if you think about everybody who's been showing up to the protests, mm-hmm. hundreds of thousands of people across the nation.
Lots of white people,
lots of black people too. I mean, to be honest, at this point, you know, you can see it's everybody. Mm-hmm. And we're a majority white nation, so of course there's going to be lots of white people.
Yeah.
Of those people that are showing up, how many of them... number one, if you watch when the gas comes out, most people scatter. Mm-hmm. They're not that organized.
Yeah.
So how many of them are actually going to organize to fight?
Good point, yeah.
And then they're going to be fighting against each other. And then what's going to happen is daddy's going to come home and say, all right, that's enough.
Right. And then we learn about all these weapons that the CIA and the army and the military have that we're unaware of.
I mean, we're aware of enough that they...
Yeah, like the sound machines and stuff like that. I mean, yeah, that's...
Exactly. Like, what chance do you possibly stand? I know. You don't.
I know, exactly. Yeah, and that's what's... It's poking the bear, too. It's like, there's ways to organize and probably overtake the government, political parties. There are ways to do it. It's a slow burn.
Yeah.
That's why the people that are in power right now are in power, because they've been at this game three Bushes ago. I mean, you know what I mean? It's like, this thing has been a slow, slow game, because you just inch a little farther and farther. You inch to a lockdown, a quarantine, a terror threat level. You start imposing all these things, and they're not going to be taken away. Then they have a little bit more control.
Yeah. New tool on the tool belt every time.
Yeah, and now it's Biden versus Trump. Like, these are the people?
Right.
It's crazy.
That's why, I mean, it's insanity. And anybody who tells you, oh, you're throwing away your vote if you vote third party, can fuck themselves.
Yeah.
Honestly, you know, sorry to... take it there, but
I'm riding into Hunter Biden.
Yeah. Kanye 2020 all day.
Yeah.
Let's get weird with it.
He was supposed to be on Rogan this Friday, but young Jamie got COVID.
Yes, indeed.
What do you think? Are you in any of those like Spotify like conspiracies about him and his show?
I haven't really looked into any of them, and I think maybe I've just heard one or two in passing. So
that's all I've really heard, just passing things up. But I'm like
I know Bert Kreischer was upset about
with the Sober October.
Yeah, thinking they were trying to phase him out to be a little more serious.
I don't know honestly, but because big corporations, you can't really trust anybody that's making that much money, can you?
I mean, when it's Joe Rogan.
That's the one, but that's Joe Rogan, but Spotify technically owns him, right? Like, well, Spotify doesn't work for him. He works for that. Yeah.
He's, according to him, it's a partnership.
True. Yeah.
You know, if you listen to the way that he explained it, at least, and you buy it, I mean, that's obviously part of his branding. So if he did give up some sort of control creatively,
mm-hmm.
Or, you know, marketing wise or something like that, then he probably wouldn't necessarily just come out and say it.
I don't believe that would be the case. I just wonder if, like, it's a, like a shadow control of things that are kind of in some way or another out of his control in a way. Like, you sign some weird contract and, like, some of these dark, mysterious forces start kind of pulling strings in weird ways. I don't know. I don't trust the man.
I mean, once you
not
get...
Joe Rogan. I don't trust the man.
Yeah, the corporations.
Like, I don't think there's ever been, besides Amazon, great company. You know what I mean?
That... Yeah. Bezos, I think, is the most, you know, morally clean.
Oh, for sure.
Of all of them,
he's one of the best.
Yeah, I think most everybody likes. I don't think I've seen anybody ever show.
How long until somebody like him now runs for president?
I don't know. I was wondering if Elon was going to do that a few years ago. You know what I mean?
How would you feel about Elon running?
I'd vote for him.
I'd feel better than fucking
I feel like Andrew
Trump
Yang
and
was our
I liked him too.
Version of that.
You know,
where it's like, oh, an actual intelligent individual with a sense of technique, like a technical sense of how to get things done.
Just thinking of the future. Mm-hmm. I mean, make America great again. Revertigo. Like, what? We're not in the past.
Yeah.
Telling myself, this isn't Halloween when you're 12 years old anymore. Like, you can't relive those feelings. You have to create new feelings. Like, you can't
Is there
keep on trying to bring
than
Frankenstein.
Being an adult in a costume and not having a good time?
I'm having a good time. I'm just
saying.
Maybe that's why I'm I did choose Frankenstein's monster because I'm trying to bring back alive some of these old feelings of optimism and... I don't know, man.
It just reminds me of seeing, you know, like when you see like some lady in a sexy unicorn outfit at the check cashing mm-hmm. store and she's like yelling at her kids and you're just like, ugh, you know, what happened with life over there?
Yeah.
And that's how I feel. It, like sometimes, I don't dress up normally. Like when you, even as you're talking about mm-hmm. Halloween and getting those good feelings and stuff
yeah.
like that, it's been a long time for me since I've like really done that or... Mm-hmm. You know, not to like pity party or whatever, but it just has. I don't go out and do shit like that with friends. I don't have the biggest circle of friends anymore anyways. I didn't even, you know, I don't celebrate my birthday or anything like
yeah.
that. It just, that's not Jehovah how
Witness.
I do it. Yeah, I don't know. If apparently, yeah. So, yeah, I just bear witness to Jehovah, and that's how I celebrate life from a moment to moment.
I get that, dude.
Right.
Dude, but back to, okay, so talking about these people on the internet, we're talking about conquering the ego and the inner self and how they're out loud. People want to fight, right?
Mm-hmm.
The greatest battle, this is going off from what you were saying previously about the greatest battle is defeating yourself rather than the enemy or something like that, right?
The greatest victory is over the self. He who conquers himself braver than, you know, those who conquer armies,
this is the thought that I had. When people are arguing on the internet or people are very argumentative, people are trying to push their points on you, I want to start asking to look at their screen time and see how much of their day-to-day are they spending just on their screen, scrolling, swiping, texting, liking, forwarding, sharing, YouTube videos, Snap. It's such a huge number that people just don't really tap into. I mean,
it's so much.
Yeah.
I'm trying to say, you said it, and I'm like, okay, where am I at?
Yeah.
It's Tuesday, so what do we have, 2 days on our belts? I think it's counting from, or is this just today?
It's just today. It just is the day.
Oh, God. Okay. Well,
yeah.
I've been on here for, what, I think 6 hours, it said today.
Yeah.
That's insane. It's almost seven.
So that's the average is... 5.5, I believe.
Okay.
But that's not real because if you look at the population, the majority of people that are on their phones, on the social media, is like, you can't really take into account these older people, mm-hmm. parents, and even the parents are on Facebook and all. But I mean, like, older people or younger people.
Yeah.
Like, it's probably 7 to 10 hours for most people.
Well,
so like,
mine gets skewed because of Uber as well.
Oh, true. Yeah, that's true. But I just think of that, of being like, what are you learning from outside of usually on your phone, it's an echo chamber. You've created an echo chamber and sorts of yourself, like the book Irresistible talks about. If you Google search something, or if I Google search something, based on what we've previously been looking at, what news articles, that will be the ones that are then our Google feed. And like, it happens on all these websites, and they know us to this algorithm that is so insane that it just, it's, put it down, read a book, go outside, go to the park, take a walk, exercise a little bit. Just, I don't know. I don't know where I was going with that, to be honest with you. My whole point was, I'd like the thought of being like, before you, the next person that argues with me about this and that and how they're right and I'm wrong, I'm going to be like, what's your screen time and what are you doing with your life besides arguing on the internet?
You have to have a screen time requirement before you engage in arguments.
Well, I just actually want to see a hologram kind of just start projecting up after we get the chip in ourselves.
Of course.
I just want to unplug. I don't know, maybe this is kind of circling back to you asking like the 1 week off of Facebook and why, and just, I was feeding my ego more. I had to create it originally to control the ban page because Facebook made that trap. Then all of a sudden I became more self-involved in trying to build something that I'm trying to build.
Yeah, you mentioned this last week. Yeah. And I really liked what you said about, you know, if you just have, and this kind of goes back to what we were talking about, and I think this might have been off mic, but about having, you know, I don't hang out. I don't, like, when I'm at home, I don't just kind of kick back and watch TV. I'll watch podcasts while I'm working. Like, I'll listen to them. And then when I come home, I sit down and have lunch and I'll throw a podcast on. Mm-hmm. When I'm done eating, I'm back to work, you know, either on homework or, you know, writing jokes or whatever it is that I'm trying to work on today. And then I'm back out the door to work later because I control my own schedule and I break it up that way.
That's nice. Yeah.
It is nice. And so, but I don't just hang out. And so I don't even, so, you know, I don't have friends with whom I just go and hang out. And it's weird to, you know, and I don't really want to come and just hang out and sit there and watch TV. You know, so you surround yourself with people who are you know, you're in working relationships with. Mm-hmm. And these are your friends.
That's a great point. You know, now that you say that out loud and I hear it, what it is you create the people that inspire you or push you forward in a way. If you surround yourself with people that are just going to barbecue, watching football games and going on their phone all day, like, that's kind of what you become in a way. It's like, if you,
absolutely,
you know what I mean? It's like, if you think about your gut biome or something like that, it's like, it feeds all the things that you're feeding it. So you become that, essentially. So if you surround yourself by artists and people that are also trying to push.
It's the metaphor about the hungry wolves.
Yeah.
You got two wolves inside of you. You know, one is, one's productivity and the other's, you know, wasteful and you know, gluttonous.
Mm.
And which one are you going to feed? And that's the one that's going to get stronger.
I've never heard that before, but I like that. But yeah, I don't, what was I going with that? But I don't know what we're talking about. I forgot for a second.
Well, you mentioned, there. I like that you mentioned.
It's going somewhere.
If you hang out with people who are just trying to hang out and barbecue and grill and watch the game. I mean, I have, you know, Facebook memories will pop up from a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. And it's like, me celebrating a you know, an Arizona Cardinals win, and I'm just like, the people that I was hanging out with at that time, I don't hang out with anymore.
Yeah,
they're all, you know, dealing with their own things, and you know, I just, you know, we had our own you know, just for whatever reason, we don't talk or hang out that much.
Mm-hmm.
Not trying to fault them or myself or say I'm better than them or whatever, because I like doing other things, but exactly like you said, it doesn't provide me anything to watch a football game and then have my team win or lose it.
Yeah, just
at the, like, I enjoyed that because I was hanging out with family, you know, because it was my cousins and close friends and mm-hmm. stuff like that. That was what I liked.
Yeah.
So once everybody started getting drunk and you know, like, acting a fool and falling down and not watching their kids, I'm not interested anymore in being around it.
Yeah.
And what have I got to show for all that time I just spent now?
Exactly. Yeah, there's no growth in it.
And there's no creativity. There's nothing created.
No.
Nothing I can look just back consume. On and go, that's great.
Consume. It's really just looking for the quick dopamine hit. It's the same thing of waiting for that like, posting that picture, posting this to try to get that that engagement to kind of give you that, oh, that feels good, you know? Because, like, with art, it doesn't feel good a lot of the time. And usually doesn't even feel good until, for me personally, a couple years later, I look back, I'm like, actually, that wasn't that bad.
Maybe I'm a narcissist. I really like creating the art. Mm-hmm. And when I do create something, I'll listen to it over and over and over again until I've worn it out. And then I go, Oh my God, that's such garbage. I gotta create something new now.
Well, then you want to up it too. So that, yeah, well, that's probably a reason why I hate what I do so much, because I do listen to it, not even to listen to enjoy, because you're trying to critique and fix one little part, one little bar, one little word, one syllable that you twist up.
Yeah.
Or twist down. It's like just that nobody would even fucking notice.
Or on one recording, your voice broke in a way that sounded cool, mm-hmm. but on the next one, the rest of it was all good, and you're like, well, I just go with this one. But every time you listen to the track now, you're like, remember how good that other sounded? You know?
Exactly.
That shit happens to me all the time. I obsess over it, too. So when I'm in creative mode, I'm kind of like a shitty person to be around if you're not also creating or involved in it with me, mm-hmm. or if you're not interested in hearing about it.
Yeah.
Because I'm just going to be like, hey, you want to check this out really quick? And then I'll play it, and I'll be like, did you hear this? What if it was like this? And it's just, most people are like, I don't care what you're doing because it's not my project.
That's probably why I don't have any friends, really. Because I don't care about somebody's opinion. I don't need to constantly be like, hey, check, like, if you want to support it or don't support it, I'm not going to keep on begging you to come back and try to fulfill me, because sometimes I feel like a lot of people don't give their honest opinion or can't get invested in it because they're projecting their own insecurities of not doing anything intellectually on their own.
Yes.
It's like they watch
people who kind of just go, why are you doing that?
Yeah, because they watched football for 4 hours or went shopping and bought something to try to fill that void. It's like you're just filling the void in a different way, and you're belittling somebody else because you are too afraid to make yourself vulnerable because you have your ego somewhere that you want protected.
Or maybe you're totally fulfilled by, you know, playing video games or whatever it is that you do.
Yeah.
But you feel insecure when somebody else has something else that they do which appears productive or meets some societal expectation that you have in your head. You know, and so, you know, I would say most of that has to do with being insecure and not as much to do with having any genuine disdain for somebody doing better for themselves.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, oh, I should do better for myself.
I think that's more of what it is, because not.
And now they have this pressure on that they don't want. So they're like, if you would stop doing that.
But playing video games is. What was the word that you used? Like, it is satisfying.
Beneficial, satisfying.
But a lot of bad habits are satisfying. Like, your comfort, it goes back to your comfort zone will kill you. It goes back in the sense that just because it tastes good, it feels good, it hit that quick dopamine hit, doesn't mean that in the long run that it's going to serve you anything. And I think that's the greatest trick that society has played on us, is that trying to get the quick... We're the rat in the cage hitting that button. And we've been trained and designed for that.
I love that you said the rat in the cage. Johann Hari is the shit.
I don't know who that is.
Oh, he's a guy who talked about on Rogan. He had a couple of appearances on Rogan. Mm-hmm. Johann Hari, he talks about the rat experiment and how the rats in the cage would hit the button for the cocaine. But if you let them roam free and have access
that's right.
You know, friendship and resources.
Yeah,
and
they
like
would.
That. They don't give a fuck.
That's
about
right.
Cocaine.
That's yeah. Wasn't there also in that? Is that the same study about like the location of where that button was, or is that a different? That might be.
I'm not sure. That might be just more nuanced than I'm aware of.
I think kind of goes into the whole thing of the Vietnam soldiers that got addicted to heroin when they were overseas, but when they came back home into a society that wasn't
right.
filled by yes. that, they weren't addicts
exactly.
to a very highly addictive substance because their circumstances were different.
Yeah, because this experiment was rats in a cage with just a water thing and the cocaine
mm-hmm.
and no wheel or nothing.
Yeah.
And over here it was like a rat playground, you know, it was like a theme park for rats.
Yeah.
And so when they were in the theme park, they didn't care about the cocaine. When they had nothing, the cocaine was the only thing that they could do to occupy themselves, you know?
Got it, yeah.
So, and that's his theory about depression and things like mm-hmm. that, is that if you can't find something meaningful to do with your life, that's when you turn to these compulsive habits and things like that.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely, personally at least, you know, when I am aimless, when I have nothing... Mm-hmm. Concrete that I'm working towards is when I get the most down and the most self-destructive and that my schedule falls off the most.
Yeah.
But anything, even just having this to do today,
mm-hmm.
when I got the call, you know, hey, can you show up here It was like, okay, cool. All of a sudden I was like, I have a purpose and I have something I have to do today.
Yeah.
And whereas I might have procrastinated for another 20 minutes if that wasn't going on,
yeah,
I was up and moving this morning.
Yeah, you know? No, that's your, that makes sense. Should we give Pete a call? Should we see what he's doing?
Let's give him a shout.
He made us. This wasn't my idea, to be honest with you. I didn't want to do this at all. But he said, if you're going to have somebody take my place, then you have to. I don't think I've called him before. Let's see. How do you do all this?
How do you make a phone call?
How do you phone call? Okay, there we go.
You want me to tell a topical joke while we're waiting? No.
Let's hear it.
No, it's garbage. I don't have any. I'm just kidding.
I would love if he didn't pick up.
Or he picks up and he's vomiting.
Yo, the Corona Kid.
What's up?
Pedro.
What are you doing? What are you even doing right now? Why is your camera so close to your face that I can't even... Bro. No, stop doing that.
I'm naked.
Are you in the closet, Pedro?
And is that figuratively or...
That's not funny.
I don't know. I can't see you.
Yeah.
Nah, bro, I'm in bed.
You don't even look sick, first of all. You look like you just... I don't know.
Bro, I've been having diarrhea all day, okay?
Yeah, that's called a Mexican diet, okay? Refried beans in tamale season. Okay?
What level of diarrhea are we talking here? Hold on. Let me go get Dr. Zevia really quick.
Oh, shit.
Oh, whatever. Dr. Zevia's retired, dude. His wife died and he retired.
Hello, that's very funny. Dr. Zevia here. My wife did die.
And it wasn't a COVID case, bro. You
dumb
murdered
bitch.
Her.
Whoa. Don't say that on air, Pedro.
Oh, sorry.
You must be loopy from the medicine.
I'm no longer a doctor, but I am a DJ.
Oh, now you're a DJ?
Yes. And as a DJ... I am an expert in diarrhea.
Oh.
Tell me the consistency of your diarrhea, Pedro, and I'll tell you your future.
Super, super liquidy.
Use a soup to describe it, please.
Yeah. Like cream of wheat or chicken noodle.
Oh, it's...
Cheddar broccoli.
No, bro, it's literally just the broth. It's not even chunks. It's not even noodles. It's not mushrooms. No.
It's like menudo minus the tripe.
Yep, that sounds like stomach cancer. You're going to die.
Damn.
Whoa, bro. Whoa.
I'm sorry. That's just my DJ experience.
Well, luckily, this podcast worked out so well that since Pedro's dying, so.
You guys are assholes.
Yeah, whatever, dude. I'd rather have an asshole than a whole ass, okay?
These guys are going to talk good about me. Like, you're going to say how good of a friend I am. I'm keeping you fucking safe, okay? I'm not super spreading like DJT,
all
right?
You're not even sick, first of all. You're watching TV. I can see it in your eyes. Love Island's on TV.
It's not Love Island, okay? It's a very wholesome show.
Okay, what is it?
The Unicorn.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
How the mighty have fallen. This is the kind of guy we were talking about earlier on this podcast.
Jeez.
Looking for that dopamine hit, that quick release.
You have a kid and you think you found meaning.
Hold on. I'll show you my temperature right
now. I don't want to see your temperature stick, dude.
Hey, did you find out whether or not you have COVID right now?
Not yet. I took a test earlier today. Look at this.
But you don't get corona.
I'm taking my test right now.
Yeah? Why is it in your ear?
Look at this, dudes.
101.
So fuck you, I'm not sick. Oh, okay?
Back off.
Dang.
Jeez. You're probably just doing like the Home Alone trick where you have like a heat pack over your head before we called you. Like, this is shit's getting hot, bro. I'm waiting for the call.
Let him see. No, dude, I wouldn't do the Home Alone shit, bro. I'm legit in bed, bro.
Sorry that you're pretending to be sick, Pedro.
Yeah, I'm sorry too.
Whatever.
Ferris Bueller my dick off, okay?
What are you?
You don't even know who that is, and I hate Old Gray. I look more like the creature from the Green Lagoon.
A funky ball of tits from outer space.
That's Old Gray, bro. Literally comes out from a lagoon.
Oh, really?
He really does.
Oh, well.
Yeah, dude.
Whatever.
Can you learn to love me, bitch? Whatever, bro.
Okay, well.
I like your propeller hat, though, CJ.
Thank you, bro. Do you know how long I looked for a propeller hat? My whole entire high school band experience, every show we would play, I would say, I'm looking for a propeller hat like Bill Murray, because we had a song called Bill Murray. Mm. Could never find one. Eventually found this one at Fry's Electronics.
That's a really weird spot to find a propeller hat.
I keep on moving. Right. I keep on moving my phone to try to get a better angle of Pete, only to realize that he's the one in control of his angle.
Oh yeah,
you know what I mean.
Like it's a 3D picture.
Yeah, I'm like trying to I can get him on screen. So, dude, don't do that. Nobody wants to see.
Dang,
that.
We went full nip on this podcast.
That I'm not showing enough. And then that's too much.
See, we didn't have fair this point. Energy before. Thank you, Pedro.
Fair point.
Come on, guys. Okay. You know what you want. That's why you guys are single, bro.
Whatever. Well, that's how we're
gonna
end.
There's a lot of reasons.
Do you see how we're dressed right now? That's why we're single. I'm 32 fucking years old, motherfucker, okay?
I chose to be here.
Yeah. We're just two 30-year-olds, dude, dressed up and cut with makeup on.
Yeah, talking to our sick friend. Over the phone.
His boss is 26.
Right.
He's like, dude, I used to look up to you.
And he was dressed as Darth Vader.
Yeah. Damn. How's it going? How are you guys?
Good. My hand's getting a little tired holding this, to be honest with you.
Yeah. I'm getting a little tired of talking to this guy. I wish that you came back.
All right. Yeah.
Well, we got the election episode coming up. So if you survive the stomach cancer...
I was talking
cancer,
about Nick. Pedro thinks I just made fun of him. I was making fun of you.
Yeah, sorry. We should say... Let's both say one nice thing about Pedro before we leave.
Even though you're really sick, you look like you're well-rested, which I never do, so good job.
That's a really... God bless. Yeah, I can't
Thank
top that.
Tried to, Nick.
I was going
to
say your nipple looked like an old chicken nugget, so...
You do have a really
McDonald's
full nipple. Look at how full that nip is.
Yeah, that's
wow. There's some meat behind that thing.
There's definitely meat, but there's got a little hair.
Okay.
Yeah, how come you only grow like 5 hairs from your nipple? Where's the
and
rest
your
of your
foot? He showed us a foot pic today.
Yeah, the rest of it's all grown out of
your
foot.
Yeah, you have more foot hair than mustache hair. That's crazy.
Or chest hair. Yeah, that's, yeah.
I've been thinking of starting an OnlyFans, dude, just for feet content. You know how much people make off of just feet content?
Bro, your feet are haggard.
Like, yeah.
Your feet are so gnarly.
Why? What are you talking
about? I was like, I know he's sick, but you could clip your nails or something if you're going to wear sandals.
What color is your toenail? Look at it right now and tell me what color it is.
The big toenail looks like Bill Cosby's mugshot that got released today.
His toenails raped a couple of people too.
Okay. Says the guy not in costume. That's scary.
Says the guy wearing just boxer shorts.
I was supposed to be a bird today, bro.
I know. Your wife told me that.
I know. What a spoiler, dude.
I know, dude. Chismosa, that's what we call him.
We're still flying high, Pedro.
I got you a gift, and then she's like, "You want to know what it is?" I was like, "No, surprise me."
Your wife got you a gift?
No, I'm saying she's one of those people that when she gets gifts, she's like, "You want to know what you got?"
All right.
It spoils everything. Spoils
everything. Yeah. me and Nick are just like, "When's the last time I got
Follow
a gift?"
Yeah, well, it's hard with you sometimes, to be honest with you, Pedro. You're sick. You're going on weird Biden rants. It just, I don't know.
Yeah. Corn Pop was a bad guy. Look, Fat.
Come on, man.
Listen, Fat. Come on, man.
What are
you sipping on, huh? I can't have any alcohol right now.
Jamie Lynn Spears is talented. Come on, man. I want a sniffer.
Dude, the Deep Hollywood Elite. Impregnate her when she's under 18, dude.
She's back, baby.
Is she?
Yeah, she's just putting out some new whatever. I don't know. I couldn't get interested enough to figure out what it was.
Well,
but...
we brought it up here, so that's cool.
Yeah.
What are you supposed to be, CJ?
I'm a hobo blues clown, motherfucker.
Yeah, Pedro.
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm...
Hobo blues clown.
I thought I saw you under the underpass earlier today.
Yeah, you saw me shining under the underpass.
Yeah, because you weren't at home.
Use the right words. I was shining.
Oh, sorry. I drove to get my COVID test, you asshole.
Under a bridge? That's not where you're supposed to go, first of all.
I gave Pedro his COVID test.
Have you ever heard that song, dude?
Did you know that your COVID test was going to be applied anally?
I didn't know that. No, I wasn't expecting something in the nostril. No,
it was a good surprise, though.
I came a little.
Was it sad?
I saw that.
Was it sad that the clown couldn't even get an erection because he looked at your feet?
I'm going to let you go now. Okay, now this is just... Assholes.
Whatever, man.
I hope you pass your COVID test, Pedro.
Yeah, we love you. We miss you. And hopefully you'll be here next week. And if you're not, you'll be here in my thoughts and prayers. So that's cool.
I'll be here. Zoom chat, bro.
Finally.
I might get evicted from my apartment, but I'll be here anyways.
Hell yeah.
What, dude?
If I have to keep filling in for you all the time.
Yeah.
Dressing for the part, huh?
This ain't no joke. This is my life.
Dress for the life you want. What is this saying?
Yep.
Makes total sense.
For sure.
All right. Well, get well soon. Eat a fuck ton. The only thing that I've ever heard that ever helped me get over being sick was eat a shit ton of calories and sleep your ass off.
I'm on that, what's it called, the brat diet. It's banana, rice, applesauce, and
tacos.
So you're stealing your daughter's food. Okay, Bather, I'm going to let you go now. And is there anything you'd like to say to our viewers before you sign off here?
Well, I'm upset.
I had to do that. It wasn't my fault.
He was just going to keep going on and on.
My arm was generally getting tired. I'm not even joking,
dude. That's actually pretty good. You're probably going to be sore tomorrow.
I might be sore tomorrow.
What did you say? He laughed.
I feel like it was such an obvious joke, but I had to do it. Anyways.
That was good. I didn't see it coming.
Neither did he, sucker. He's a good dude, though.
I love that Pedro, guy. Man.
What you guys, so you, I think like you weren't friends for a while, right? Like, you came to one of my shows, then you kind of like became friends again?
It's been this way since we got out of elementary school. So in elementary school, we were friends the way kids in elementary school are friends.
Yeah.
I went to his trailer, as a matter of fact.
Uh-huh.
He lived in the same trailer park as me. And so, yeah, I went over there, and I got to smell his parents' cooking and experience the people of a different ethnicity, and it was really fucking cool. And we were into, like, the same shit. We met, I think we talked about this on the first podcast I did with you guys, but crossing paths in the hallway, I think it was Pete that went, Jupiter!
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah, like, yeah.
Kel from Keenan and Kel, yeah, and I was like, Jupiter, bro, I watched that shit too! And so we, like, made friends, and he lived down the street, so we hung out a bunch of times. And then, like, around middle school, we, like, didn't hang out. Around middle school is when it started, where basically... whenever we would cross paths, we would say, what's up? And mostly that was Pete would be driving past my house. We'd be in the garage practicing, and he would just pop under the garage door.
Oh, gotcha.
With like a joint or something, and we would smoke out and talk shit for a little bit, and then...
get back to it.
A couple months goes by. Yeah. And then, I'm not going to lie, when he started talking about on social media that he had a podcast, I was like... I was in one of my little depressed little funks, and I was like, I want to do something cool enough that he'll ask me to be on the podcast.
Oh, really? Oh, that's funny.
So I set out to do that.
God, starting this thing was so embarrassing.
Really? Because
you have to muscle through so it's actually nice to hear.
I just did my first thing like that today that you're saying right now.
Oh.
So I know what you mean now, I feel like I can't get started because I'm like, I can't publish that.
Exactly. And then you're on 10 and you're like, dude, we've got it. And then 15 comes like, oh, that's terrible. Then I kind of always had it in my head, by 100, you'll kind of start at least finding your voice a little bit more, but you suffer through 100 episodes of just, yeah. I mean, still now I hate how it sounds, but I can now establish a difference between the beginning and now.
I can say that I've heard you guys grow since I started listening to you.
Yeah, thank you. I mean,
I don't mean that as a slight at all. Like, for sure, it's a compliment because, like, in the early days, there were just, you know, just the common shit talking over each other or, not not keeping up on each other's beat a little mm-hmm. bit, you know what I mean? And nowadays when I listen to the podcast, it's like anybody else, it's fucking super entertaining, and you guys have like your own like references built into it now.
I appreciate it. That's awesome.
Yeah, I love this podcast, man. You guys are great.
What's funny, I guess a big part of that though too is not only is it harder than you think to just talk, like, you're like, oh dude, me and my friends get high and we talk all the time. It's like
right
true.
Now I'm feeling that. Yeah.
Yeah. But with him, like, we weren't really friends, like, because we go back to the thing with having friends with people that you do stuff yeah. with. So we hung out maybe once or twice, and I kind of got him into podcasts, so we talk about it in the passing, and then I don't know what made us kind of be like, we should do that, and then kind of slowly becoming an idea. But when we started this, like, he had never came over to my apartment before. Okay. That was the first time he'd ever been to my place. So it's
really?
Like, yeah, so that's, it's kind crazy. Of weird that.
How did you guys meet again?
Kind of through his wife, because she's a manager where I work at, and then he'd work there sometimes. So that's kind of, yeah.
That was it.
Yeah,
that was
that's
the connection.
Yeah, and then it's just the way that I have to commend
did you guys
him.
Bullshit enough that you were like, we should do this on microphones.
I don't know. I think it was that I personally loved. I was so. Podcasting hit me in the same way as music did. Like, it really came to me. I was in such a dark place, man. And I knew about it years and years prior. I didn't have the attention span to listen. I couldn't get into it. I didn't fucking understand why people would want to listen to people talk. And
feel
I just
that.
Could
All
not.
Yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't dial into it. But when it finally hit me, dude, it was like, it's changed my life.
Absolutely.
And I think when something changes my life, I want to kind of, I don't know, do it a little, I mean, or something in some way. It really, really hit me. So I kind of always wanted to do it.
I want
to
share podcasts the same way I want to share music.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or books, you know. Yeah. Just this. It's another creative outlet.
The Mike Tyson Evander Holyfield podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Have you listened to that yet?
No.
Hotboxing with Mike Tyson. He has Evander Holyfield on, and they talk, and they both are talking about their mothers.
Okay.
Evander, everything is about his mother and the way she raised him.
Yeah.
Mike didn't have a mom. And was a fucking tyrant and a hellion, you know. And so you hear these two world champions.
Yeah.
And it's like seeing the devil and the angel on some shoulder. It's just, it's amazing.
Wow. I'll
check that out. Yeah, and it's something that I'll show my children if I ever have any. You know what I mean? It's that much of an incredible observation on what a human being is,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah.
And that came from a podcast.
Right. It's insane. But it's just, I don't know. And that's the thing, I guess. So when we met, and I guess we had kind of banter, obviously, where we kind of like would go off on tangents or whatever, a little bit, you know. But I think for me, it was something that I wanted to do, but I was like, dude, I can't. It's the same thing of like, I'm going to be so embarrassed.
What am I going to talk about?
But I needed at least one other person, because it helps kind of like.
So much, man.
Yeah, it helps to be like, well, he's here. So, I mean, I don't know what it is. It's just like being in a band or being like a solo artist. It helps to have that other person that's kind of in the.
It's the communication
art
form.
Right.
It's very unique, the people who do it by themselves. Bill Burr, Tim Dillon.
Yeah, but even like Tim Dillon, his producer, like some of these,
yeah,
they do
true.
Kind of play into it where it's like he's kind of helpful.
He's riffing off of him as
a
an
little,
audience.
Yeah,
as
exactly.
A live audience, yeah.
Exactly. So,
yeah, I've been dying to have somebody try and start a podcast with me. And I've got a couple people who are interested in certain things. I've got one, my friend Kayla, she wants to do like a conspiracy theory podcast.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, like a conspiracy hypothesis where we break down the conspiracies.
Yeah.
So we have our initial reactions and then, you know, investigate them, call like college professors and whatnot,
mm-hmm.
Which would be really cool. But just having somebody to riff off of and just do a normal podcast with, I want so badly. And I'm going to end up having to do a Bill Burr thing because I can't.
I mean, that's what we got to do. And we're kind of getting near the end of here. So one thing I wanted to talk about today, but kind of circling around, I was going to actually commend Pedro for being, yeah, like, he is that dude, and he, even though we weren't great friends, he showed up every single week and kind of made it work. And that's, like, with a band or with anybody, it's like, that's not, you know, I mean, he has a child now, and he's still, I mean, yeah, he was sick today. I mean, he was sick, but also he's introduced me to, like, you're an awesome dude. I feel like we're going to be friends for a lot. Like, I feel like a genuine connection with you as a friend, right. Somebody that I haven't with a lot of people, like we were talking before we started, like being 30, I'm not like looking for friends. I don't really want friends, but like somebody that does create and like is in that artist, like we saw Tim Dillon live, like dipping your toes into that a lot of people don't do that anymore because they're so tired from work and they have this to do and they're worried about this. And just, it's nice to be around those kind of people. But I commend Pedro for showing up every week and doing it and putting in the work. Because that's why now at 118 episodes, is it great? No, but compared to episode 18, you can hear, not that we've gotten better, you put in the work. So it's going to happen eventually. I mean, you are going to get better. I mean, if you play guitar every single day, you are going to be better at guitar. It's really that simple. It's that whole 10,000 hour thing. That's such an annoying thing, but that's what
it is.
It's
a cliche, but it's also not wrong.
Yeah. So conspiracy, Hunter Biden. Do you want to talk about that a little
Let's
bit?
Let's talk about Hunter Biden and his fucking crack addiction or whatever.
Well, first of all, can the DNC get their fucking laptop shit together? Because years ago, Hillary Clinton's laptop, Hunter Biden's... Stop! Okay, no more laptops.
Hard drive,
iPads.
At the place, everybody shows up. We've got... Everybody does it at the same library. And
no more
fucking laptops. And it's run by fucking John Podesta and... Yeah.
No more laptops, DNC, okay?
Seriously, what are you doing?
He drops it off at a repair place.
And forgets it. And you know what, though?
He's a crackhead.
People have been criticizing him and everything like that, but they haven't smoked as much crack as Hunter Biden has smoked.
Yeah, he's not doing bad.
You don't have the lived experience.
Yeah.
If you're going to judge Hunter Biden, you have to smoke crack.
He was actually, he was so high on crack, he's like, I'm going to drop off my laptop here because I have so much fucked up shit on it. That way I can say that the repair shop, it's Russia, and they implanted it there. Yeah. Or they uploaded the child pornography onto my laptop.
They've been using it.
They've been using it.
Creepy Russian guys.
Yeah. So he was... Maybe that's what
that
his thought.
Who cares that it has like emails from my dad about...
Ukraine deals.
Knowing Ukrainian deals. Yeah. Like you were talking about earlier, how are we at this point? This is the guy?
I know.
This fucking guy?
I know.
How easy was it to beat Donald Trump in 2016 and you put Hillary goddamn Clinton?
How do you still support the DNC and say, if they fucked over Bernie Sanders, however you feel about Bernie Sanders, regardless.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. They fucked him over two
times.
It is completely rigged, just like the Republican Party
the
that you
time,
hate.
They didn't even try to hide it.
It's
the
been
first
exposed.
Time they got busted. The second time they were just like, ignore him. Yeah. Just fucking ignore him. They'll go away.
It's insane. Like, I don't understand that blind faith to follow something. It's not serving any purpose by saying the third saying a vote for the third party is a vote for Trump, or saying that not voting is a vote for Trump, or any of this. No, fuck you.
I wasn't going to vote for him in the first place.
And it's your fucking party that's misrepresenting the things that you should be representing. Yeah. I mean, it's like you're saying these other options aren't viable because you didn't give us a good enough candidate.
As the DNC is, that they elected and nominated and are supporting a corpse, like a fucking tadpole that didn't ever turn into a frog, Joe Biden. The Republicans are no better.
Yeah.
A game show host fucking casino peddling motherfucker came and hijacked your thing, and you could do nothing about it.
Has been on camera making fun of people with Down syndrome.
Yeah.
Like, that talks about feminism.
Yeah, shoot a little bleach into your arm, you know? Because have you seen his speeches?
At some of them, clips of them or whatnot, yeah.
They're like stream of consciousness.
Oh, that's what he...
Fox News sermons.
But that's what's working for people right now, because nobody wants to think. They don't... Nothing... And I made this point last week, too, about, like, because Pete had the fly on his head. We're not discussing anything beyond the insult, the fly, or the comical. Yeah. Like, stream of consciousness is what... wins right now, because that's where our fucking attention span is. It is going, oh, fly, oh, squirrel.
I'm
like,
glad
they
that
can't
you brought
do
this
that
up, because I really I also reacted to that point, which was actually part of the reason, because I tuned in, I saw the fly land on his head, and I just started making a video for it.
Right.
And then I was like, oh, catch up to it later. And then I was like, I'll hear people talk about it. I don't care that much.
And what did they say that's good? Like, you know there's nothing.
Neither of those people represent me.
Yeah.
So why did everybody focus on the fly and the bullshit? Because they don't have a stake in the game.
That's really deep, actually.
That, like, so the irreverence for it is the right response.
Yeah.
I'm actually happy about it. It just from that perspective. Mm,
that's interesting.
Just
I don't know if it's that deep though. I think people are just I mean, what is it, 1/3 of kids are on
it's not
Adderall
about being deep though, it's just logic.
Got you.
What do you expect them to do when you haven't given them a choice that's among their preferences?
Yeah, that's okay. It's like if you're given a Martin Luther King, somebody that's speaking. I mean, even Obama had great speeches.
Yeah, he had flies.
I've seen videos through like reptilian weird. I kind of brought this up before, of like videos, and nobody brought those up. Like we thought about because he was actually making.
I've seen
thoughts
the fly conspiracies since like 2008.
Yeah, and it's kind of weird, but it's also I don't know. It's like you get enough footage, you can see flies on everybody.
Exactly, and they speak outdoors a lot, and they are all making public speeches, and they're all nervous. So when a fly lands on them, they're like, "Do I swat it or do I just keep going?" And it's like,
why wouldn't you swat it?
Because they can't be natural. They're trying to perform, and they're not trained on how to deal with a fly and their performance, you know?
So do you think the Hunter Biden laptop is a conspiracy? Do you think this is Russia?
Director of National Intelligence just came out last night and said it's not.
Yeah.
Yesterday morning.
Yeah, because they went to the email respondents and asked, like, is this Hunter Biden? And everybody came back confirming, right?
Yeah, unless John Ratcliffe is Russian asset as well, you know, ask
that's
Hillary Clinton.
Also the funny thing, right? It could go that deep, but also this is the same.
How many times, four years ago
it's like
it's the boy who cried Russian at this point,
and this is like the Facebook rhetoric, you know. These are the stories that will disappear in 3 days that we spent so much time thinking of, posting about, like trying to consume when it's not an actual deep thought.
Right.
I think because
it's a distraction.
Yeah, and it's also I think we are so it's like fear of missing out that we want to whatever's the newest, that's what we want to dive into. And so whatever happened 3 months ago or we kind of just roll over no matter how important it was or how big it was, right? We just kind of like, oh, well, but now look at this.
There's no such thing as a bombshell anymore.
Yeah.
Breaking news happens.
We're
like, ooh, remember breaking news? And you go, oh my God, this is happening
now. This is live?
Yeah.
There's the helicopters.
Right now this is happening.
Yeah.
It's completely unfurbished.
That's a great line. There's no bomb. Yeah, there's no bombshells anymore. I mean, it goes with the school shootings. How many there were, like, it kept happening that when Columbine happened.
How about Vegas?
That one.
Whatever happened
to that
guy?
Are we going to open that up right now?
Are we going to talk about that ever?
Fuck, dude. Yeah. One old guy.
Yeah.
Assault rifles like that people said, like you can't shoot them that.
Peeling people off with headshots.
Yeah. Breaking the hurricane proof glass with a hammer.
Yeah.
Dude, that story is so fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Like, I'm getting goosebumps right now because I remember seeing that story on Apple News when I woke up and just feeling
I spent hours watching the videos.
Oh, me too. But it's such bullshit.
Bodies with fucking holes in them and people walking. And oddly, the dude walking around like, I'm a medic. But why are you running around filming if you're a medic? Why aren't you helping one of these people?
And why they said that. The case is closed. The case is closed now. You know that, right? Like, it's closed that he had no motive. There's no alternative motive.
That's insane.
Like, it's a closed case to that. To kill that many. Was it 100 and something and injured 500?
I don't know. I can't even remember.
Yeah, I know it was like at least 120 people were shot and killed. And at least 500 were injured. So, for that to be swept under America's metaphorical rug, so to speak, that's fucking crazy.
What does it feel like to you when you hear about it? And if you say, what's the first thing you would describe it as instead of the official thing?
A terrorist attack? I mean.
But what happened?
But if it's.
What happened if not what we all know?
Oh, like. Illegal gun trade? I've heard that conspiracy.
Okay.
Like gun trade.
But what does your intuition tell you?
About what it was? What happened?
About what happened in Las Vegas. What do you think it was?
You know, man. It's hard to say. It feels almost like sometimes it's a real deep conspiracy going propaganda with it, where it's this way of control, and you know, because then you start going down this, it's this American country.
It almost feels like a bungled propaganda thing, right? Like a psyop. Right,
exactly. It's like, and the CIA has done some shitty things in the past.
Oh, yeah.
Is this thing on? You know, they've done a lot, a lot of things that will take American
lives. They're 93% good, though.
Yeah, exactly. There's a couple good ones. There's just a couple bad seeds.
7%.
Exactly. But
mostly
at
night.
Think about it. Just the way that the story was closed, the way the story doesn't make sense. I don't know how anybody doesn't still talk about this, and I'm glad you actually brought this up because it still boggles my brain. And I hate that I haven't thought about it for a little bit because it's one of those things like 9/11. It also gets so frustrating. You're like, what the fuck? If we're not fighting over this and we're,
that's one of the first things that broke me down. As for in terms of our reality, was when people stopped giving a shit about 9/11,
mm-hmm.
when it got swept under the rug of a news cycle, and yeah. I'm like, hey, hold on,
yeah,
remember how I woke up and everybody was flipping out, all the adults mm-hmm. everywhere,
right?
Like no one with any sense of authority.
Mm-hmm.
We don't care now. Like we're back to normal just because it's not happening.
Yeah, I know. There's okay. No bombshells anymore. I guess that's the thing. It's also these things happen. I guess that's what's crazy too, man. Think about all the wars that we've been in, racism, Nazis,
about the way the media machine cycles up and spins up when these things happen.
The election
and
years
and
stuff.
Once the legislation gets passed,
mm-hmm.
it's not a big deal. We don't talk about it anymore.
Oh, yeah.
It's over.
Yeah, this goes with like the stimulus deal. I remember 6 months ago, people I work with being like, oh, you hear the second one? I'm like, it's not coming.
Yeah.
The election's coming up. It's not coming. Like, and then they'll forget about it and it'll kind of go past and just now America's open again. It's going to be complete. I'm excited for November 3rd. Remember, because our podcast is going to be a lot of fucking fun that day.
Yeah.
But also because I feel like things will kind of start. They might get really crazy for a couple of days, but then they'll mellow out like a month later.
I'm not sure what's going to happen. If there is a civil war, it's going to be between a concentrated group of people.
Yeah.
There will be casualties, I'm sure. When it spills into the civilian world that is neutral to this whole thing, basically, like to the point where people's heads are getting cracked open.
Mm-hmm.
That's when the military has to act on national soil. And that's when we go, fuck, daddy's home. Now we can't play anymore.
Isn't it so fucked up that we're not legally allowed to use tear gas in wars, but we used it on the protesters?
Is that the same thing? I that sounds like one of those things where I would look it up and it would go, the tear gas they're talking about is mustard
different.
Gas.
Oh,
you
maybe.
Know what I mean? I don't know if that's true.
I don't know either.
I didn't look it up.
You know what? But to be fair, if there's a civil war, I'm going to say something that maybe I'll regret. But I feel like if it's a Proud Boy versus Antifa war, let God sort them out. You know what I mean? A couple good ones may die.
Yeah.
But some of them, I mean, I've seen some of those Proud Boy videos.
At the end of the
and
day,
we could lose a couple of them.
Yeah.
They're getting, I mean, this, I, you know, I did this last week too. They're getting too cocky with their American flags and their flag with the blue line on their truck sticker.
They're not helping anyone. Yeah. They're not.
Yeah, it's not.
It's entertaining to watch.
Yeah.
So as long as we can stay home and see it on on YouTube after the people who are brave enough to film it for us, those heroes.
I'm a medic.
That's a hero. Yeah, you know what I mean? What's that guy, BH something? He's filmed most of the Kyle Rittenhouse stuff.
What was his name?
Dude deserves a shout out. He's always right on the scene, and he's such a weird little albino creep. But yeah, man, like those people are heroes.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. All these people running around shooting each other in the streets are assholes. You know, and so whoops, sorry, I've done that every fucking time I've been here.
You karate chop it.
I move around too much. But
the internet will control us all. I must disconnect.
I must
disconnect.
The people who are giving us entertainment right now, that's it. You're the heroes.
Yeah.
And the people, obviously, who are necessary to maintain the infrastructure and, you know, the hospitals and that stuff. But everybody else can fuck off and go to hell.
But vote before you do that, before you fuck off.
Yeah, vote in hell. Vote in
hell. All right, buddy. Well, thanks again for stopping by. It was a fun episode.
Yeah, I'm glad to end it on a high note that way.
Yeah, and you want to plug anything? Or do you want to go with our tagline? Do whatever you want
to
do.
Go listen to George Carlin's advice about voting. And, you know, nobody cares about you. So do what you want.
Amor y paz.